Next is a meeting with disciples on January 3rd, 1994, in Gidanagri.
Last time Baladev was sitting there, and if it got too hot, he was doing something, partly opening the door or something. You don't have to do it right away. You want to do that if it feels like it's getting too hot? This morning I went over some of the written questions, and tomorrow we'll do that, and answering. So if you have more, I only have about 6, I could use some more. So I wanted to address one little issue that came up about women disciples, and take the opportunity to talk about it in general. The incident was that on these morning walks that we've been taking, the first couple of days, mostly women were walking beside me, and even in front and back, in front, and in their eagerness to hear. And I didn't think too much of it, because men were there too. But then there was quite a bit of photography and video was going on too. Mata Mangal pointed out to me that how this would look, all the different pictures that were taken. See this person, spiritual master, surrounded by lady disciples. Doesn't look very good to others. So then my first instinct was to stop the filming. And then I thought, well, maybe we should not be walking like that. So what I had hoped would happen would be that, just like for any photographic image, it wouldn't be just me and women, but that there would be men immediately near me, but not that all women were just had to go far away, which is what happened the next day. And then I heard some of the ladies were upset and felt that this was some kind of a significant rejection. As for that specific situation, I think if we just do what I thought we were going to do, it would be all right. As long as there are men immediately nearby, that women could be still in nearby ranks and not banished. But that there was some spirit of protest or thinking that I shouldn't even do anything like that. At least that's what I understood. That there was a feeling that I shouldn't make any restriction at all. There's nothing wrong with women coming as close as they want in their eagerness, and there should be no objection, no discrimination. To address that, I wanted to bring up the incident in the Bhagavatam of Shukadeva Goswami passing by the ladies bathing, followed by Srila Vyasadeva. So you know the incident that the ladies, astoundingly enough, did not cover themselves when they saw Sukadeva come by, but because they saw by his demeanor that he had no eye for sex desire or even sex discrimination. So then when his father came, Srila Vyasadeva, they quickly dressed themselves. So Vyasadeva is the teacher, the father of Sukadeva and everybody through the Vedas. Why they behave like that toward him and not towards his son. Prabhupada, in the purport, he talks about the difference between renounced daughter and son, renounced daughter and grihastha. And he says that a grihastha has to discriminate. This is a woman, this is my wife, and this is another woman. Whereas a sannyasi should not have that discrimination. And Prabhupada says if he does, he shouldn't take sannyas. He should at least theoretically not make the distinction, meaning that he should see soul, not see body. Implications that if I see a female body, then I have material desire. If I'm a male, there's a female, so I have an arising of some material desire to enjoy the female. Whereas if I see there's a soul, and I'm a soul, then there's no such desire. But this, so that's what he defines renounced order in that way, that he must at least theoretically make no such discrimination. So that might give us evidence, or we might take that to mean that, well then, sannyasi should not make any distinction, then there should be no problem. Whether a woman is beside him or a man, he shouldn't even know, notice what it, who the person is. Just see the spirit soul, see the disciple. That's a very high vision. And Prabhupada more often talks about, and the scriptures talk about sannyas in terms of his having to be very careful that this is a woman. And he's distinguished from the grihastha by the fact that he takes so many precautions not to be alone with women and not to associate with women. Lord Chaitanya, in his instructions to Raghunath, which are supposed to be instructions for the renounced order, he says, anyone who is in renounced order and associates with women, this is like poison for him. I certainly identify with that attitude, that the sannyas has to protect himself. And those who wish him well wish to protect himself. Sometimes we even hear that people are envious of devotees and sannyasis. Demigods are sometimes said to be envious. They want to bring about a fall down. So the sannyasi wants to protect himself, and those who wish him well want to protect him. I was mentioning the other day, talking about the spiritual master and disciple relationship, that how your spiritual master is in the sadhak position. So that means controlling material desires that are still dormant, doing so by behavior, by self-control, but being very careful not to allow a situation to come about which could bring him any danger actually, or which would not look proper for a sannyasi. So I have to protect myself in that way. Lord Chaitanya didn't have to protect himself in any way, but as a sannyasi, he took all precaution, and he made statements that if I see the form of a woman, I become agitated, a wooden form. And his lady disciples weren't able to approach him except to make obeisances from a distance. So there are two reasons to have some kind of to keep some kind of distance. One is, as what I brought up, the actual need to do that for protection, and the other is what looks, even if one says I'm not troubled by this. But if it's not proper etiquette, or if it doesn't look right to others and can be criticized, then it should also not be done. There's some examples of Srila Prabhupada with that. One, when he began in 26 Second Avenue, one of the first girls to become a serious disciple, she had to travel a long distance by subway and get up very early in the morning to come there. So Prabhupada said at one point, "Oh, I wouldn't mind, you could live here in this apartment with me. You could live in the other room. But I cannot do that because I'm a sannyasi, because of what people would think." So obviously that would be scandalous. And yet he saw no problem in terms of giving the person shelter, but he knew that people would see it wrong. And another example is Prabhupada's, for a while he had a servant team, man and woman, Govinda Dasi and her husband, Gursinda. But he finally said this wasn't right, that because Govinda Dasi was a woman, she shouldn't be his servant. Because it didn't look good. Although she was giving such good service in so many ways and was so expert. So, I want to give equal attention and opportunities to women disciples. And I, therefore I ask the men disciples not to push women out of any exchanges just by the fact that we have more aggressive bodies and mentalities and voices and can do that. They should be considerate about them. But sometimes wherever that arrangement is for that equality, there's a difference. It's not everything is the same. That the men can walk beside, and so the women can walk beside in exactly the same way. Sometimes there has to be a difference, a recognition of the bodily condition of man and woman. To conclude this, we should always know that this is a very bad age. We're living in Kali Yuga, and we've seen many spiritual leaders in this ISKCON movement have fallen down due to womanly association. Prabhupada writes in one purport that many stalwart transcendentalists, or maybe many stalwarts in the devotional line or something like that, have fallen prey to these two objects, women and wealth. He said, because we've been associated with them since time immemorial, so one has to be careful about it. And we should be a little fearful. It's good to have some fear about this. In the incident of Chota Haridas, where Lord Chaitanya was so strict with the renounced person. And afterwards, this was all a teaching demonstration by him. And he got the desired effect. And the effect was afterwards, the devotees were all very afraid of any kind of loose behavior. And they didn't indulge in it. So, does anyone want to talk about that anymore? Any questions? If you don't want to do it in front of everyone, you can write to me about it. Yes.
Also, what you just said would apply that women fall down also with the men. Both ways.
Yeah. Butter and fire.
Protect each other.
Protect a man and protect a woman. Okay. So, yeah. Sorry.
On that point about the photography also, because I know myself, I was shooting some of those days. I'm going to mention it for anyone else who's interested, but when I get the film back, I'll carefully go through the photographs and not distribute anything that may be of that critical nature.
Yeah.
Because I know you and I have had an exchange over that one other time,
mm-hmm.
and I was photographing, and you
stopped
me and asked that, you know, I'd be careful, and still sometimes I do, I forget, I don't think in terms of that, from another point of view. That,
yeah. Nice. Like, we may see it as harmless. But often when we see some other Swami, like someone we already have something against, like a Mayavadi, we say, yeah, and he was traveling, he had two women secretaries, or he was traveling, there were women beside him. We'll be quick to see that as a real defect, that this person was a rascal. Maybe even we also don't investigate what the relationship is. It may not be what we think it is, but as soon as we see it, we start criticizing him. So that visual image of a sannyasi surrounded by women, right away it strikes the impartial viewer suddenly coming to see such a thing. Where there's smoke, there's fire, I think. Right, yes?
I noticed that it was possible for some of the men to be in front of you. So if more of the men were in front of you, then the women would be pushed so far back, perhaps.
Yeah. It's not that in the name of this protection that it's like a football thing.